Today we're going to begin with the sketch plan review of 8015 Old Georgetown Road. So you know the meeting is being recorded and recordings will be on the website. I'll go ahead and turn it over to the applicant team. We'll give about a 10-15 minute presentation. Then we'll have discussion and we'll see if there's available time and we'll have public comment.
Okay, to begin, I'm Erin Gerard with Lynn Ozum Locker. We're land use counsel for the applicant, and I personally have been involved with this property for a very long time. I just wanted to kind of set the stage because it's a little bit unusual, the history of the project. The project actually had previously gone through a rezoning and has a development plan and then went through a site and preliminary plan under the old PD 44 zone. Right around the time it was finishing off its entitlements, the sector plan came through and it was rezoned to its current CR zone. The church, which is currently on the site, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it, and Dennis will show some pictures in a minute, but the church has been operating on the site for a very long time. They have a community center, a daycare, and obviously their community center and church. And they've made the decision to relocate their facilities. Originally, they were going to stay there, and there was going to be a 107-unit residential building and a new church facility and community center, but they've made the hard decision to relocate. And they brought JLB on board, who's the current applicant, and JLB has decided to avail itself of the new zoning. And Dennis will go through the plans, but I just wanted to kind of point out that there's a number of things from the old plans that are being maintained. We wanted to kind of build on the long history of the project. And so the access points are as they were before. It's from Glenbrook and from Old Georgetown Road, just emergency access from Rugby. And then the general massing and height of the building are similar to what they were before, albeit the height's lower. Originally it was approved for 94 and we're now saying 85. So I just kind of wanted it, that history plays into where we're trying to go with this project, and I just wanted everyone to be aware of that. And then I wanted to turn it over to Graham Brock for a minute for him to identify himself. This is their first project in Bethesda.
Thanks everyone for your time this morning. Graham Brock, JLB Partners. This is our first project in Bethesda that we're doing. Over the last 8-9 years, we've done 10 projects around D.C. We're a national developer based out of Texas with presence all over the country. Very excited about this one. Sort of all eyes are on this from our company, and we are very excited to be here and hoping to work well with everybody. And happy to answer any questions later on or talk with anybody going forward.
And I just wanted to kind of conclude, too, that we haven't filed, as you've probably seen, we haven't even filed the sketch plan yet. We're hoping to early next month, but we wanted to solicit feedback. And while we're doing this, we're reaching out, having community meetings and all of that to try to get as much information as we can to build into the initial submittal. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dennis.
Good morning, everyone, panel members and audience. Dennis Connors, SK&I Architects, and here with Marius Fredolescu, principal designers for our firm. Very excited to be here. We've been working with GLB, studying this site for quite a while. And just want to refresh everyone's memory of what the site surroundings are and also some key entry points to the site. The site is situated at the corner of Old Georgetown Road and Glenbrook, which is on the far northwest end of the Bethesda downtown. So the Bethesda downtown plan actually cuts off right Battery Lane. Also, Rugby Avenue comes into the northeast corner of the property. Currently, right now, the site is mostly occupied by surface parking lot. There's a curb cut on Glenbrook currently, and then you can see to the left there, the Bethesda Chevy Chase Rescue Squad is to the northwest of the property, with that also that interesting little curb cut connection there. The site is surrounded by a mixture between residential single-family housing and also some high-rise development to the northeast. Across the street from Glenbrook, right here, there's about
11-story,
110-foot office building right there. And there's a proposed public connection running through the eastern end of the property there. extreme grading conditions as well, I should mention that. There's a big grade change from here to here. This is the current site. This is the church on Old Georgetown, the office building across the street on Glenbrook. Then these are some of the other views from some of the other entry points on the site. This is Glenbrook looking south, and then Rugby Avenue at where it confronts the property. This is the overall massing of what the project would look like if you just used what was in the design guidelines and extruded the project. The site is currently recommended for up to 120 feet of height. These are the two treatments for street sections along Old Georgetown. There's a recommended setback for a tower, and Glenbrook, there's also a recommended setback for residential, but we will be showing you alternative tower treatments, especially since this is not a tower, it's 85 feet high. We're aware of the various treatments of forming towers and using varying heights and limiting face and so forth. We wanted to just start out by showing a comparison between what was the approved site plan, the footprint of the old development, and the proposed new plan. The old approved site plan had that 94-foot tall condo building on this end, and then a 76-foot tall church on the corner of Glenbrook and Old Georgetown with 110-foot topping out of the spire. There's also a significant amount of setback on Old Georgetown, almost a kind of an anti-urban approach of development, if you will, because it terraces up away from the streetscape. This is an overlay of our proposed building section, which is a seven-story building. It's eight stories, but some of the stories are almost half level. So just for this discussion, you can see it's seven stories. This is overlaid on top of the church, which is shown behind in red. So the our building footprint taken through the court is actually a little less. And then the orange is showing the proposed profile of the condo portion beyond. And this is what would be our limit of our development. Here's some massing views of how we carved out the building. Along Old Georgetown, this would be the massing for the guidelines with that setback of 120 feet of height. But with providing this through block connection and enhancing the street, there's an opportunity to really connect this building to the environment. And we thought about how to break it up, not only the streetscape along Georgetown Road, we introduced a court to break up the facade there. And then shaping the massing, we set in courts facing the residential side, and then tapered down towards that portion of the site as well, rather than taping down to the streetscape, because it's important to establish the street and demarcate the corner of the building, which will be prominent, not only visible from exiting Bethesda, but then there will be corner opportunities coming into Bethesda as well. This is one of the first prominent buildings you will see entering Bethesda. And then also adding features like bays and breaking up the facade, articulating that. Here are some examples of precedents we were looking at in terms of how to break down. These are roughly same number of stories, 7-8 stories. How you can emphasize the corner and then break down, or break down the facade by just different material treatments and breaks and emphasizing the corners. This is the proposed massing within the context. And what's shown in red are the lines of the potential recommended heights for the guidelines. This is the office building across the street. This is the main courtyard. This is it's envisioned to be the primary active courtyard for the residential building, so the pool and the activity would be facing Old Georgetown, whereas the other courts would be more intimate and facing the three-block connection, more green, more passive. It's important to mention this stepping down along Glenbrook rather than stepping down towards the office building. It seems like there's a greater sensitivity towards that. These are two of the street elevations, Old Georgetown. You can see the proportions, that this is a nice clean facade, and then there's a break with an element that will be identifiable as you enter Bethesda. This is Glenbrook looking north, so you can see tapering down there, and the building footprint with the other portions of the project to behind. It's very important for this type of building to have an identifiable entrance. We're thinking about how the corner will be expressed in a very connective way, in a transparent way, which you'll see in the next pictures. The middle of the building, how you can break it up using various elements such as frames and bays and balconies along here. And finally, I want to identify a project as well that JLB and SBI did jointly up in Rockville. This is the Escher. So the entry of a building can become very important as far as bringing the people into the building, but also creating something special for the neighborhood as well. So whether it's transparency or something that breaks the roof line. These are some of the plans of the project, just to show you on the ground plane. You enter the building, and it's mostly all amenity space. All active amenity space are residential along all street frontages. There's that first courtyard, which is more of the passive one and the lower level facing to the east. And the limited parking on the first level will be completely buried and then covered up by the three-block connection that will be coming up and over that, transcending that steep climb. Here's one of the curb cuts going down into the parking below. And there will also be a curb connection which will lead up into Rugby and connect, which was also part of the previous site plan. But that's something that the Bethesda Fire and Rescue has really wanted as well for access. They actively use this connection coming in and out for the safety of the community. This is the roof plan. We have to, of course, contemplate all the green area that's required. So we're working very active right now, finding the necessary stormwater management, biofilters, green roof, and so forth to execute that. This is a luster site plan that shows that. One of the huge things we're contemplating about this through-block connection now, too, is that we're pulling back the lower levels currently so that it gives us opportunity to do various items that you otherwise might not be able to do on such a through-block connection. So it'll be mostly on dirt, not structure, whereas the courtyards themselves are on structure. So these are both passive, this is active. And these are some of the various elements that we envision could be an opportunity on the streetscape, direct connections with the residential units out onto the streetscape. And then the through-block connection is unique opportunities as well for either elements that could create zones or, again, activation, and then just generally speaking, a great way of linking the shopping district area of Bethesda to the Battery Lane community. And that's it. That's what we have at this level.
What's the reason why not to develop to full density? Did you mention that in the presentation?
No, I think Graham could probably answer that better than I can, but it has really to do with the right size and market research that they've done and what the site can support.
I think one of the reasons not to develop to the full density is probably the scale of the building itself to the surrounding area. I know that there's 120 feet that you guys are talking about, or was it in the original zoning? We do have single family to the backside of us. We are cognizant and aware that we will be taller than them by a significant amount. So we're trying to pull back the building on that side. If you go to 120 feet, we're going to dwarf them by a lot. I think it's going to become a problematic thing for the residents. They may not, the single family neighborhood up that way. If you look at what was planned on the original side with the condos and the church, it wasn't at that height, even except for the spire. We're being cognizant of what was already done. We don't want to reinvent the wheel on site access and height and everything, and just sort of keep the scale roughly the same. And that we really use the past entitlements as a spot to start our discussion.
This is significantly larger than the original proposal, correct?
As far as number of units, yes.
Or just overall density?
Correct. The original plan had 107 units, and then it was a roughly a 50,000 square foot community church and community center.
But there's other things, like from a traffic standpoint, the old use would have generated more traffic. But density-wise, yes, this is going to be, it's going to have more FAR.
What is the new density? I apologize.
Roughly 300,000 square feet, 310.
So it was 157 and now it's 300.
Yes.
How tall is it relative to the office building across the street?
The one to the across the Old Georgetown?
So no. The proposed building is 85 feet tall.
No, the existing one there. Right?
110.
That's 110.
I assume it's about 110 feet and using normal.
Okay, and then what is the, I'm just trying to get a sense of scale relative to what's there right now. How tall is the roof of your project right there?
85 feet.
Okay. All right, so it's lower than that though.
The section showed the section.
Just to clarify one thing, the previous approvals were 198, so they were almost 200, the previous approval was.
Is the current church occupied? It looks really terrible condition from the outside.
Yeah, they have moved their services off-site.
Okay, so it's abandoned,
It's just really the amount of money they'd have to put into HVAC and what have you to make it viable to have the community in there right now. It's not worth it, knowing that they're going to relocate.
And some of the residents near us might be able to attest to this, but I think they are still hosting some meetings in there, but not to a great extent, and it's not well maintained, as we all sort of attest to.
Where have they relocated?
The theater.
Imagination Stages on Sundays is where they're having their services.
So I know with the previous approved project, there was significant kind of interaction with the community over the past decade. Have you guys already started the conversation with the neighbors there?
Yeah, Graham.
We've had some initial discussions. I think I'll speak to you guys. Maybe a couple of missteps. We try to reach out to the direct neighbors. I've since connected with a very nice lady who sort of says she's going to keep everyone informed, but we're going to have a community meeting next Tuesday. And we will continue to have dialogue with neighbors and try to engage as much as we can.
Can you go back to your site plan, that illustrious site plan for a second?
Sure.
So the courtyard on the more eastern side, is that basically at the same plane as that through block connection? Is there a difference in elevation?
Right there.
It will mostly be at the same plane. The through block connection itself is going to go from an elevation of about 38 all the way up to 51.
Okay.
So it's a pretty steep grade change. However, we've calculated that this distance going from here all the way up to here, because of the length, is really not going to be a steep incline.
What percent grade is DDM?
Yeah, probably.
So it's pretty uniformly taken up, this level change.
And then the way that we have situated the plans is that this courtyard, which is lower than this courtyard, will be more on level with that.
Right.
And then this courtyard here will be
So if
they, this is above buried parking and this is not.
That's real earth on the right?
It's above structure, but it's above the full structure. There's a half-level parking, and then there's a full-level parking below that.
And the intent is to engage the resident, the residential units that are concurrent with that level as having outside entrances?
So within this private, or the private courtyard space, these dwelling units would most likely have views into that courtyard. The dwelling units along the streetscape would most likely have active entrances. Right now, it's not contemplated that the units on the ground floor that are facing within these areas would have active entrances because of the, there's going to be a lot of bio retention and stormwater management requirements to meet those regulations. So there will be some landscaping and things like that in front of the dwelling lots.
I guess what I'm trying to probe is the throughput connection's good, but it will feel like you're just skirting through the back of the facility and not really engaged with the development itself. And I'm glad to hear that one of those courtyards are approximately aligned with the through block connection, but again, are you going to feel like you're trespassing through the back of this residential project?
Sort of an issue of eyes on the path in terms of who owns it, and who's going there, and why are they there, and are they in my backyard? Or and then the fire wants a connection to Rugby Avenue, so yeah, that your driveway.
That's right. That was part of the previous site plan, and that's something that everyone thought was important to maintain.
Even though you have share a common property line, I realize it's not the fire, it's the ambulance rescue service, but.
Right.
Their site actually has problematic access points also, if you look at the redevelopment of them. And we are going to sit down and talk with them, and there's some initial discussions just on that private lane and how to get them access for their stuff too.
So your access points in the parking garages are off of
there's
here,
one entry
right?
here.
Yep.
And then there's another entry here.
And loading docks?
Loading will be solely here.
Solely there. And what's the nature of the extension then of that drive? As it gets to that curve to get to Rugby, what?
Here?
No, past the loading dock and past the entrance into the parking garage, what's the nature
of that road?
Elevation? Yeah.
That will have to start climbing.
Climbing up.
Yeah, that's right. It's a tough site. This is significantly taller than this, so the project.
So it's 13 feet from where
that's correct.
From there to there.
That's correct.
13, and then what is it from here to there?
I think it's about 8, 6, 8.
Okay. And old Georgetown is relatively flat as it goes across the southern edge, or not? Does it rise?
That's correct. It's relatively flat, but because it's such a long facade, there is grade change.
Yeah, sure.
It's obvious. The thought here is, and I can go to it. So, for instance, this amenity space here is two stories. So it's not like we're burying the project into the hill. Into the street, so the curb in that regard. Mm-hmm. So as you ascend from this point slowly up here, this will be very activated with building. So this is either a two-story space.
And then the residential wing on the very west side, where is their lobby? Or are they? Is the lobby there?
One lobby, central lobby.
It's just it's quite a wall.
Residential wing, I'm not sure. No, the plan.
The whole, you enter over there on the.
I mean this wing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main lobby would be here. We're having, this is relatively early on in the coordination, but we are having access points from that side, most likely for things like bike storage and things like that. So there are multiple cores. There's an elevator bank here, which will bring you up from the lobby to the courtyard and amenities here. And then there's also an elevator bank here, which will allow you access from back of house. And you know, there's going to be from parking. That's probably going to be the primary parking elevator, because that's going down into the full parking level below grade.
So to get to the wing on Georgetown, you have to come off here, come all the way down, go through the H portion of this building, and then come down to the other one.
Only if you're coming from the lobby.
Only if you're going
to the parking garage, you go over the elevator.
There's
But you're going out on the street to buy stuff, etc. Are you going to always drive? I mean, you're going to always...
No, there's going to be various other exit points from the building, of course. Right. There's going to be, you know, there's stairs here that will go out into the courtyard and access the path. There's going to be a stair here that will come down and exit out. And there will most likely be a connection here, too, as well.
So you could come home that way?
Yeah.
If you have a key?
Most likely.
I think that would be...
So it says, well, it says residential there. What does that mean? Is it a residential unit, or?
We are in discussion on trying to figure out exactly what to do there. It's, the clear height makes it difficult, given the topography, to really stick residential units there. We don't, I think we are leaning towards not putting residential there based upon how short the ceiling height will be. And under that scenario, once we sort of hammer some of this through, I think you'll probably be looking at additional amenity space or bike storage moving over to that side. I mean, there's a lot of things yet to be hammered out in this plan. Sort of more, that little block is almost a placeholder that could be bike, dog wash, additional amenity space. So stay tuned on that is probably the best way to describe that.
You have to chamfer that corner because of the setback to the right of way.
This one, yeah.
Not the other one. That one.
This one?
Yeah.
Yes, because of dedication ones, yes.
Your precedents all show, you know, 90-degree corners, which I think all look very nice, and the building across the street, of course, is a 90-degree corner. And, well, the other ones you show, go to the previous. There, that particular, that one. I guess if you have to do it, you have to do it. That corner, and I think going back to the residences, the houses, is an issue for me. And one of the things that the church did, because of the shape, it sort of had a transition between sort of the mass of the building and then kind of curving around and giving some space to that house that's right next door. And so if you go to the rendered site plan, I'm wondering whether, you know, you're terracing down, which I think is a good thing, but I also wonder if that upper, sort of, I guess that's the northeast corner there of that building, if you could also terrace back. In other words, having something, you know, this
location, terraces back so that it opens up that corner for light and air and sort of the massing of the building to get to that setback for the house. You know, that there's maybe sort of a, you know, rather than terracing here, all of it also maybe terrace there, at least at the corner, so this corner isn't so prominent to that house.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, if this, you know, it's almost as if that terrace come around so that this top or even down a little bit more set back as well, so then you kind of get a breakdown of scale three-dimensionally rather than just the two-dimensionally, you know, going north, south. think it would help that house, and I don't know what's going to happen there. It might also help sort of the, you know, the openness a little bit more of that pathway. It just, I think it just, that breakdown of scale, I think, will be very helpful going back at that point. That's really the only, you know, one of the few real conflicts I see with sort of the mass scene and whatever, you know, what happens to that neighborhood. I don't know what's projected for those houses, you know, as far as zoning is concerned, you know, whether it's going to be a ton of pressure and they're going to build something.
I think I could be wrong, but I think the sector plan was recommending that they stay R6.
The property is very expensive. I wouldn't expect them to be developed.
Yeah, there's a lot of brand new houses.
Yeah.
I mean, it is R60.
If you look back, the height limitation back there is 35 feet, so it doesn't apply to residential.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I also wonder about the chamfered corner, too. Is there another solution?
Yeah. Well, because if you look at the rendered site plan again, you know, there's that, you do have that one line, and I'm assuming that line that you show in the rendered site plan, if you go to the rendered site plan, it looks like it's maybe that line that's, you know, out is the right of way. You don't.
I'm assuming you gotta have setbacks. But you can almost come here and have a real corner without going over that line.
This is the property line.
Or you invert the corner.
And this line here is.
Or something, yeah.
This is the dedication.
Negative.
Yeah, negative corner.
Dedicate, you have to dedicate.
Yeah, the dedication lines are creating.
See, a negative corner might be very, very appropriate.
Yeah, so it's just an odd corner compared, especially when you're looking at the other corners that are 90 degrees. You know, it's just kind of odd. I mean, Barcelona looks great, but every block is doing that.
Every corner. Every corner.
Exactly.
There are no corners.
Oh, God. I do think the way you've treated the Old Georgetown Road facade with the recessed courtyard is a good start in your design. I think that takes the curse off the length of the building. I've used that in the past in other cases, so I think it works out very well. It appears to be two buildings then. It's clear that, to me anyway, nobody's mentioned it yet, but if you look at the original plan, where you have your central wing right now, the back part of it was open space in the old scheme. And that's where the majority of your new density is. And that's also crowding that house to a certain degree. From that side, I'm not saying it's a negative. It's just that's one of the obvious differences. I think, though, that the fact that you kept the courtyards down at the through-block connector level in general, and the distances are not less than we've seen in many other instances in urban environments. I think that the general approach for sketch plan, for me, is pretty satisfactory. I do think that. The diagonal corner, I agree with some of the comments that it probably merits some additional consideration at this point. I think it might be stronger. It wasn't just a, and I'm not even sure that the intent architecturally is that it's just a flat plane at this point. I'm sure it'll have balconies and other things as you get into the design. I think the good news is that height is certainly something that's generally a concern in immediate adjacencies, and the fact that you not at the maximum height, you're even less than what you were for components of the building in the past, is all good. In my mind, I've been trying to figure out where this project may be stretching beyond the underlying comprehensive plan, and I don't find it at this point. I find it, in my opinion, to be within reasonable interpretation of the guidelines as we understand them. Staff may have some other issues that I don't know about. So, I mean, generally, my opinion at this point is that certainly as the design of the building proceeds, you will want to consider some of the comments that you heard today, perhaps in discussions with your neighbors. I mean, they've written some very good analysis on the project, not all of which I think I agree with, but I think it's good that they're thinking in a positive way. And so it's really incumbent upon you guys to deal with them in a positive way going forward. But as a first shot, my opinion is that it's in the right direction.
Thank you.
The through block connection, when you arrive on the rescue site, what happens?
As of right now, it dies off.
Ultimately, future development will have to continue that. In the time being, it will go to Rugby.
Rugby. So that last leg will not actually be executed.
Judging by what happens today, you have people cutting through fire and rescue,
right,
the backside of the church,
right,
all the way down.
Right.
I disagree with Dennis on the fact that you may want to continue that little pathway. We'll have to work with staff to see what they want to do with that. But if the intent is to grab all the people from that community on the other side and bring them through, there needs to be some coordination issue with fire and rescue, or it might have to die off in a Rugby, but we have to figure that out.
Well, that's a legal, more than an actual issue, because people are walking across there right now anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit nervous about eyes on that through block connection. I'm 100% for through block connections, but you know, how is that monitored, et cetera, particularly after hours?
Just speaking in general, but
cameras, lights, action.
dealing with that through block connection is going to be very crucial for the neighborhood and for us. Do you open it up to our side more and put more buffer towards the community? And in that case, then your eyes are coming from our building going to that. One of the neighbors has expressed concern about too much trees on their side, where they want to have it be a little bit open. So dealing with that element is going to be a crucial thing of that through block connection. It's something we are very cognizant of already.
But already you have real earth on either side of the walkway, so that you can plant trees on either side. And so the question really then becomes where the hardscape is versus where the trees are.
Well, it would also be nice if, again, security and all that is probably an issue. But it would also be nice if it isn't just a, whatever, a 15-foot width the entire length.
That's why I went to where the exits are from your fire stairs, et cetera, and whether or not people actually could use those as entrances into the apartment buildings, et cetera.
A building this long,
The
western end might benefit from a slave lobby of some sort.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a possibility.
I think a good precedent is downtown Bethesda, new development that attaches to the Crescent Trail that runs along the back of the residential units.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very successfully done. I think engaging the lobby with that and having that kind of park space back there is
I bike through example. Every day, every single day. That's the way it's along.
Yeah.
And even
it's
at
nice.
Night. It's just the way it's lit.
Yeah, helps a lot.
If you were to put additional height somewhere on the building, would you have to change construction type?
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah, I was going
to. I was going to make an observation about that.
Suggestion.
You take it out the back and you put it on the front.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I generally agree with George, and I think that the basics are actually really pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you took that wing off and reconfigured this corner and put more height someplace else, you would open up that space, and you'd be urban on one side and more responded to the residential units, my mind.
Well, in a very simple terms,
right.
You take a floor off of that wing and you take a floor off of the end of the middle wing and put a whole floor addition on the left side,
and
it would it'd be great.
And you still be with it below the height limit. So.
Probably never that simple, but
I do agree that in my place to take it out probably would not be so much the eastern wing, but the central tower in the back.
Yeah.
And that's the one that actually has the most impact on the adjacencies.
Right.
I mean, if you wanted to dare have some additional height.
And something else that I'll suggest the design that you look at is that this is an existing truncation. I think you know, if this came through today, we wouldn't recommend that truncation. So I think you may have some flexibility in the dedication at the corner. So if you were able to come up with a better design that didn't have the full dedication, I think that's something we could
talk
about.
Yeah, we'll certainly talk with Civil on that. Those are technicalities that,
that's good news.
Expect to need to ask, but you know, we'll certainly want to.
We saw a hard line and didn't want to invade that line.
Well, I mean, and this, you know, so generally, you know, so dedication happens. You know, the planning board approves dedication at preliminary plan. So, you know, we had a project that your office also did, where we were trying to get front doors on Arlington, and in order to make that happen, we ended up not dedicating that space on Arlington so that you could have front doors. So I think there is some flexibility.
This building, the proposal for this site, same thing. There's a very large chamfer. The board has agreed with the applicant and removed that. So yeah, you could have a real corner.
Right. I mean, you can't, you'd have to apply to abandon the existing corner, but I think within the new dedication, you have flexibility.
I don't know if this comment is relevant. We're going to have another presentation today. It's for the battery lane. They have an overall green plan. I wonder how, because this is so close to the entire the rest of the battery lane development, how this through Broad Lane linked to their green system and how the building can be integrated as entire in the neighborhood sense. So, because it looks to me right now they're 6 developments in that project, and you have one in here. I think maybe looking at a more holistic picture in a manner, so that you know you can check with them at a design team.
The on Glenmont, the building actually protects the neighborhood by coming all the way out to the property line. In other words, it daylights the front yards of the individual units. I'm thinking of neighborhoods in Chicago that have the avenues where the buildings keep the property lines. And then when you turn the corner into the smaller streets, those houses are set back, mm-hmm. which allows the building actually protect the front yards. If we cut back too much on the building that's stepping down to the driveway, the entrance to the parking garage, mm-hmm. we're exposing all those front yards to Old Georgetown Road. So I'm not inclined to support stepping everything back on Glenmont, so that you expose all those front yards. I think the front yards get protected by the building as opposed to the other way around. That's just my opinion.
When I was suggesting it, I'm not suggesting it go all the way to the ground,
right.
That step back.
Okay.
But I do think, you know, if it goes down a couple of floors.
Right. Well, I have no problem with that.
Then it breaks down the scale. You sort of start.
I'm very concerned about.
Down the other way too.
Concerned about this as protecting those front yards.
You can touch the screen.
Yeah, touch the screen. If you start setting this building back completely, then all of a sudden all that becomes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
You want Old Georgetown to be met, and then as you get back into these individual houses, then they're set back and protected, if you will.
If I may, what we've been trying to do, and you can see the this corner, if you go there, 3D.
Yeah.
And this is early stages, so mm-hmm. obviously we're going to have to look at people that. We are trying to engage the step back such that they look like a stepchild of the building.
Right.
But we still have work to do. That was the
we envisioned basically there's going to be a similar architectural theme, and that the side treatment along Old Georgetown will be fully engaged, and then it'll peel away and then relate to these mm-hmm. step that so that you're not doing a building that has the traditional wedding cape approach to, you know, so there's certain zones. There's a very developed base zone that relates to the streetscape of Georgetown, and then a top that relates to the proportion of this, and then relates to that transition phase as well. So I think that's.
I think there's one good thing about the easterly courtyard as opposed to the original scheme, even though the building is slightly taller. The full facade of the church went across and so forth. Sun angle is shown in the right-hand sketch. Would have cast more shadows on that first half. The recess of the courtyard actually allows southern light to come in more better than what it would have under the original scheme. So I think that's some thoughtful thinking in terms of configuration.
This is why this was probably one of the first.
Yes, step out.
This is one of the first things we looked at when we started the project, honestly. So. And there you see how you know, there's the lower level parking that's fully below, there's the partial level, and we're setting back from the neighboring property line there.
And I think the steps at the top two floors are important.
Yeah, and then there's the lobby on that gate, the stepping.
Are there any other comments from the panel right now?
All right. We had two folks signed up to speak on this project. Are you okay with taking public comment? Yeah. Okay, great. So Herb Stryker and Richard Boyd.
Good morning. My name is Herb Stryker. I'm a resident and owner of the property on Glenbrook that faces the building they've been talking about. And I did submit a letter signed by about a dozen residents. So we went around to photographs of the neighborhood and in color, because we wanted to see everything in color because it's important to get perspective. And we took photographs of the fairly large parking lot that is between that big building on the, that confronts the project, proposed project on Old Georgetown, and there's a very large, several hundred feet parking lot between that and the nearest residential home. And we do appreciate all the comments I heard today about, you know, concerns about the residential neighborhood, because, you know, we do believe that design, Port Elman designs context, and the context here is, does this project fit in terms of its surroundings. And surroundings are residential neighborhoods. This is the residential neighborhoods on Glenbrook and Rugby. Stable neighborhood, tree-lined, no children. People have no intention of leaving that neighborhood. And so people worrying about, you know, what would happen to that neighborhood. That is not a throwaway neighborhood. That is, there are some very expensive homes on that, on Glenbrook and Woodby. It's not a throwaway neighborhood. So Aaron Gerard mentioned that, or in the developer's belief, this project is similar to the last one. Let me give you a little bit of history on that last one. That last one went through about 11 years of iterations before, finally, something came up with, I think, the committee would agree with, but that's not the plan that the developers indicated in their sketches. It was finally something quite different. So let's talk about the history here. So the original plan in 2007 was not that much different than what we have here. It was massing that took up most of the site. And there was a church, yes. And there was a condominium building, yes. But they were let. There was basically the condominium building was set up so that it took up most of the area of the site. I think the density might not have been that much different. That first plan was held by the hearing examiner on rezoning to be too massive to be compatible to single family homes along Glenbrook and and that was upheld by the council. So that plan went away. The church came back around with another plan, and there were lots of discussion about that. And then finally, we had what was submitted in terms of a certified plan, which is different than what you've been providing here. And that had a condominium building, yes, as depicted. And then there was the actual church had been lowered by two stories, yeah, in the final certified plan that was submitted in January 2018. So it was not 56 feet. is actually, it's not 78 feet, it was actually 56 feet in height. Substantially lower. And we talked about, some people talked about that little part of the reverse J that's against Glenbrook. It would not have been 85 feet, it would have been 56 feet. And yes, and we had architects look at the shadowing, and you need to go down to that sort of height in order to eliminate, you know, the shadows, the darkness, and the impact on the homes on Glenbrook. So that you needed to go down that height. The developer finally agreed to that, the prior developer. That's in the certified plan, and there was a settlement, if you remember, because you and I wrote that settlement, right? Yeah. So anyway, so that took 11 years, and we do appreciate the panel making suggestions, and we are willing to work with the developer, but we need to be mindful that this neighborhood is going to protect, we're going to protect our neighborhood, with, you know, and we're willing to work with you, but you need to be mindful of all the history that, and only Aaron only prepared part of it, that ultimately gets to something which the neighborhood is willing to accept. So we do agree that what's important here is the surroundings. It's a residential neighborhood, stable neighborhood. We understand the applicant is asking for 40,000 square foot bonus density under the Bethesda overlay zone. We don't think that is appropriate for this type, for this development. Already the density is substantially, almost double what was agreed to under the prior plan. It's already been pointed out by at least someone here that the way this differs from the prior plan is this is sort of an H with a reverse J type configuration. The other one was really just an L. So the bulk of the condominium was largely across Old Georgetown. The church, as I indicated, is actually two stories as agreed to in the certified sector plan. As agreed to in the certified plan was actually two stories lower, ultimately, as was submitted to the county, and we think we had 40,000 square feet of green space on the grounds, which serves as a buffer to the residential homes on Glenbrook and Rugby. And I think a gentleman here said that that's missing. We don't have that sort of green space in the middle. We actually have an H with the inside legs of the H really jutting out towards Rugby. And so, all in all. We think that this project, we have concerns about the number of cars that will be exiting Glenbrook. We have children that play on that street. Imagine if you live in your neighborhood, there would be, there's like 274 parking spaces, 274 cars exiting towards your home, your children playing in the street or playing on the sidewalk of the street, sidewalk. And so think about that as you think about this project and what makes sense for this community. Anyway, in my mind, we ultimately did agree with the proposal for the church community center. We felt ultimately, even though we thought that project was too massive, that church community center would provide essential social services to the community. But this project has no social services other than condominium. Yeah? So we think that they need to be cognizant in terms of you know, how they designed this building. Given the fact that it's very unique, that it is juxtaposed right next to a residential area. We're not aware of anywhere else that has a massive monolithic mass that is adjacent to a residential area. We thank you for your time, and you know, and we're going to have some meetings, but we'll be talking, right? So your lawyer, which I think is the third lawyer now, right, on this case, will tell you. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. And Richard, if you could keep your comments brief so that keeps the time, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Right. My name is Richard Hoy. I am a resident of Lucas Lane, which is just north of the site off the Old Georgetown Road. I am the closest neighbor to this project at one time. I lived in the Bethesda Chevy Chase Rescue Squad. Today, people live in the rescue squad and in other firehouses in the county because of the cost of housing. As a homeowner now, my path is down the Georgetown Road to downtown Bethesda or to the rescue squad's property down Rugby Avenue. This is the community, primary community pedestrian bicycle. This one is does not provide benefit in where it accesses or in this, a terrain. In certain use, I support it, but the secondary. This is the primary and most important route. And it's so important that the chain link fence gate at the rescue squad is actually stuck in 2 feet of soil, open. It's inevitably closed now. My interest is in my property value of my house and in my quality of life. And I think the project provides a better pedestrian experience for me, and also improves my property value by providing more housing, more activity, liveliness, and a better streetscape. So I support it for those reasons, and then for the environment and for the future, having more people close to Metro, close to downtown activity centers, and having fewer cars on the road is a great thing. So. And I support the Lutheran Church there. They do great work. I'm very sorry that they have had to leave. My history with the project and the site goes back to the 94 master plan. I sat in the FED committee where Betty Ann Kranke and Eric Balazs voted to downzone against the planning recommendations of Glenbrook and Rugby from multifamily, from townhouse density to maintain single family. Bruce Adams voted against that motion. Bruce Adams talked to me later and said why he was defending his vote to support higher density here. And I said, you don't need to defend it. I was felt like I was stabbed in the back when that vote was taken. To maintain single family surrounded by high rises and urban style density and uses just seemed like a exclusionary zone. And I believe that, you know, there are wonderful people on the street. They've invested in their properties, and I just totally respect that. But this, to me, is exclusionary zoning, and it's the tail wagging the dog here as far as what's important. So with that, I would say that I'm particularly concerned about the streetscape pedestrian experience along Old Georgetown Road. I think that a curb grade experience that goes where there's now a wall, a stone wall, and a higher elevation to the church. If that's brought down to the street, that's a good thing. Sidewalk would be consistent with the width of sidewalks further down in the urban district. So it should be a 10-foot wide one separated from the curb. That's very important. But having a wide, good experience. And having a facade that may be broken up at the district level, having a continuous wall of the building along Old Georgetown Road, I think is not the best that can be done. So maybe that can be broken up a little bit. And I support the trying to reduce the parking as much as possible. My streets, Lucas, Northbrook, and Southbrook lanes, our houses look at the Middlebrook. Okay, a tall building looms over our neighborhood. Okay, and there are beautiful homes there. All right, and very active neighborhoods there. So I'm not concerned about the height. I'd actually like to see as much construction as possible for the issue of providing as many housing opportunities as possible and for improving the vitality of the downtown. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so just to quickly summarize, the two major issues are the through-block connection, just paying more attention to its width and whether or not there are eyes or activity and connections to the building along the through-block connection, and then also attention to the corner and seeing whether or not this should be reconfigured considering what the dedication should look like, that it might want to be an inverted corner or even a stronger proper corner, or potentially to step back and allow more light and air to the residential units beyond. Is there anything anyone wants to add to those major issues? We could go into the public benefit points.
Yeah,
So are there any red flags that you all see for the project to reach the minimum 10 required points? No? No, just those comments. All right, so we could take a straw vote. Those who support the project? All right. Those who support with conditions, which include what we just mentioned? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, great. Thank you so much. And the project will come back at site plan.
Yeah, would you submit, please make sure that you include
it won't be back at sketch plan?
No, they'll come back at site.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.